Good Morning Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Making Willing Street pedestrian only, some of that storefront there, turn them into, have people turn them into little cafes, little gift shops and stuff like that. Cause, and then you'll bring people, and then you're into the river, right? And we don't promote the downtown right. I mean, if you go through downtown, I mean, you know, look at all the empty storefronts, right? So I think if we tried to incorporate is it just a pedestrian only and make it like nice, right? Tables and all this other stuff. And I think you'll bring people into town.
That's City Councilman Mike Cusack in the Milton City Council meeting. This is actually like a month ago, but I never got around to it. I thought this was kind of an interesting topic. Now, you live in Milton, right?
Yes.
Okay, John.
So, I do.
First thoughts, first reactions, the idea of making that portion of Willing Street right around 90 basically be, you know, pedestrian only, which you've seen in other cities. It works very well in a lot of cities. You know, there's two-way traffic. There's one-way traffic. There's no traffic whatsoever. There's all kinds of options. Of course, you know, Palafox at one time was one-way, and then people were like, this is a terrible idea. And then it went back to being two-way, and now we're into the redesign of Palafox, which is still going to include cars. First thoughts about the idea of making that into a pedestrian zone only?
Yeah, no.
Oh, interesting.
I'm enjoying getting by there and through there.
Well, not, I mean, it's obviously not 90.
Right.
It's I think it's not the south side. I think it's just on the north side of 90 is what they're talking about. But
shortcut
still.
For me.
Oh, okay. So that's your way through.
Right.
And they're going to take away your favorite shortcut. Okay.
This come up today on what the parking on Willing Street. So we'd eliminate the parking problem by not having any parking. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, and there's probably, you know, there's enough places to park. I mean, you know, people, you know, can park and walk across. And I think it would, I just think it would look nice, make the downtown area look nice instead of the way it is now. I mean, it's just been that way ever since I've been here. It just kind of. Kind of just there, right? So
it's kind of just there. It's kind of crummy. It's not nice, which is Mike Cusack's new standard for urban development. Interestingly, it seems like, though John has an opinion to the contrary, it seems like this is happening. It seems like they idea.
Don't they have bigger problems to solve?
Well, there's a lot of things to solve in Milton, but you know, they can walk and also walk at the same time. So this is something that several other city council members seem to be on board with. Casey Powell.
What are the pros and cons, as you see it, of eliminating the red light at Willing Street? I really feel like that if it was eliminated, therefore, if you were turning off of Willing Street, you essentially could only turn with the flow of traffic.
John's losing his mind over here.
Oh, yes, I am. No, keep that light there because that's the only way we can turn.
Ed
Especially
Spears,
with 90.
The city manager. See, I have no investment in this other than I know residents of Milton will care. And I don't have an opinion. I don't feel like I know the area well enough. I don't know the traffic flow well enough. It's kind of like, I try not to weigh in on tax measures that I don't pay, and I try not to weigh in on traffic measures when I don't know the area real well, and I don't know the area like a resident would, so, you know, I don't want to have an opinion about something that I don't really have enough experience with. Ed Spears, city manager.
I love the ideas, both of removing the red light and potentially closing all or portions of Willing Street. Absolutely support that. We've got to get the community involved as soon as possible. We cannot just show up one day with pretty plans.
Yeah.
You'll get us all shot.
That's probably not inaccurate.
And I would recommend, along with the CIB's discussion, that perhaps we schedule a meeting with the stakeholders, invite the property owners and the businesses to come and tell us what their vision for Willing Street is and what they would like to see. And that way we're inclusive from the very beginning, instead of trying to jump in at the middle or at the end.
And they have already had not an official, I don't think there's been an official public meeting, but there's been kind of the, and I, pardon me, I don't know the name of the board, but like the, it might be the Community Improvement Board, but there was something in a subsequent meeting, because this is like a month ago they were talking about this, in a subsequent meeting that they were talking about having, you know, favorable reaction from most, but very unfavorable reaction from one business owner in particular. So, again, I don't have a strong opinion about this. John is adamantly opposed. He's going to be the pitchfork posse in Milton. But a pitchfork posse of one.
Just leave it alone. I mean, I'm sitting here just verifying my math.
You're looking at it in, on the Google to see if it's what you think it is in your head. And?
It is.
It's exactly how it should be now.
Yes.
And you don't want.
And leave it.
Stop changing the things that aren't broken.
Stop touching it. Right.
Okay. Well, they, you know.
No soup for you.
they have this idea, and I'm just telling you, based on the, you know, the couple of conversations. In fact, actually, right now, it's the only yellow spot in Santa Rosa County.
Exactly. That's what.
But that's the argument, right? Is if it's a traffic slow zone, then why not make it a traffic no zone? And then you can have all these businesses. It can be as nice walking. You know, I mean, it can be Palafox, but without the cars. It's, I mean, surely the kind of thing that they are envisioning here. And again, I think they are intending all of it. I know it's the north side, at least up towards Berry Hill, but I don't know if it's the south side as well, because I think you've got more of businesses down there. But then, like, you know, it terminates at the park.
Do the south side. Don't do the north side.
Okay.
I know a lot of people that work in East Milton take that shortcut.
Which, how do they go? From Berry Hill to Willing to 90?
Mm-hmm.
And, or the other way around?
Right.
Okay.
And so eliminating that light would just be a traffic nightmare.
So
what are they going to do, put a stop sign?
What you'd have to do is you'd have to go down on like Stewart, right? Or Canal would be mm-hmm. your primary alternatives.
And, or you go Elmira.
Okay, so play the game with me. Why is it that Ed and Mike and Casey seem to all think this is a great idea?
Because they obviously don't drive it every day.
Well, what if they do and they think this is exactly the solution you didn't know you needed?
Oh. But then they're going to make traffic on Elmira Street and Canal Street even worse than it already is.
Okay. All right. I'm just, you know, I'm here as the bearer of the discussion. I really don't have an opinion about the matter, because Elmira is just a stop. So that's getting on to Carroll. That's just going to back up, right? That's not even going to. Okay. All right. 437-1620-43. This isn't a drama day. This isn't a, you know, Milton City Council melodrama theater. This is just.
Oh,
a,
I know. You should have played the thing, though. The thing.
Yeah, but it's not. You got to use it when it's appropriate. And this to me isn't. Although you represent a high amount of drama on this.
I know.
I'm assuming other people have a similar strong perspective, yay or nay, and that's fine. 437-1620, 437-1620. Oh, did you see that the investigation about the bombing or the arson, whatever you want to call it, near Pam Childers' house has now produced a charge? You remember this? This was a year ago, and it was kind of like sort of covered in the news, but not a lot. There was basically a car that blew up on Pam Childers Street. You know, clerk of the court, county comptroller for Escambia County, Pam Childers. A car that blew up on her street, but not at her house. And as I recall, the details in my head are just they're fuzzy enough for me to think it's right, but I'm not sure that it's right. I believe it was like the same sort of car, like a white SUV that either she or her husband, Bruce, drives. But it wasn't at the right address. So part of the theory maybe had been that whoever was trying to get her had gotten the wrong address, you know, got the right car at the mm-hmm. wrong place or something like that. Well, now the FBI has arrested a man who lives in New York. Don't ask. I don't know. For stalking. This is the PNJ. Molly Barrow's doing a good report. Threatening and attempting to extort money from Pam Childers by using violence, fear, and fire, according to a federal indictment filed August 19th. So that would have been, what now, almost a week ago. In the U.S. District Court for the Northern District of Florida, Pensacola Division. So filed here, but against a New York man. I can't tell you. There's not a lot we know because it's an ongoing investigation. And apparently there is another principal here that they're looking to get that they haven't said who it is, and that's why they're not telling us a lot. The arrest is more than a year after they investigated the arson at near her home June 1st of last year that destroyed a neighbor's car. As Molly writes, few details the alleged actor given because the affidavit and arrest warrant in Wright's case sealed by the judge at the request of the prosecution. U.S. Attorney's Office filed a motion saying the details underlying the case need to stay under wraps to protect the interest of the long-term investigation into violent offenses and the safety of those involved because the main subject of the investigation is not yet in custody. So, yeah, I mean, pretty serious story. Don't, again, know a lot of the details, but if it was a threat-slash-extortion case against Pam Childers, and thank God the FBI has been working on it, and thank God, and she says she can't comment. She says, tells PNJ, we are thankful for the tenacity and resource of the local FBI, of course. Perfect, appropriate comment. They, at the time, she thought the arsonist had hit the wrong house because police had found a note that was a death threat meant for her. So, you know, there's that. Welcome to the United States of America in 2025. PLT returning that $65,000 that was somehow or other not properly categorized, not properly applied. This is in the wake of the, you know, of Sid Heath or Sid Williams, as some call it, Sid Heath Williams, leaving PLT. Jim Reeves, who is the president of PLT, sends the money back to the Escambia Children's Trust because it was a children's program that they had granted the money for. It's like a $260,000 program, and this is $60,000 of it that apparently wrongly coded, wrongly categorized, wrongly used. We don't know. Again, we don't know a lot of details. The program that it was going to fund, another Molly Barrow story in the PNJ, actually. Molly does such good work. You know, we tried to get her to come work
I
here.
Know. But I wanted to fill in for you.
When she was going back to work, we tried real hard to get Molly. Hey, Molly, you know what you'd be good at is why don't you come to News Radio and work with us? She's like, oh, I love you guys. I'm going to the PNJ. Dang it. Dang it. So close, because I love Molly. She's great people, but also she's a really good journalist. Anyway, the program for PLT was character building through building characters. It's clever. It's teaching kids how to become better people, which is a lot of the PLT stuff. It's teaching them soft skills, teaching them to become better people, more fleshed out people, people with confidence, people who can speak more effectively through drama and art and performance, which is a great avenue for any of you who have ever gone through been in chorus, been in drama, been in theater, done any of that kind of stuff, whether it's PLT or anything else, band, all of these things have a value in developing confidence, skills, character. I mean, it's, the unit studies concept in teaching where you don't do, like, instead of doing math and English and history as their own subject, what you do is sort of the Greeks, and then you do the history of the Greeks and the math of the Greeks and the literature of the Greeks kind of as applications of Greek life into the basic subjects you do at school. Or you do, astronomy, and you do the math of astronomy, the literature of astronomy. You know, and you take a subject and you turn it into these other things, or you apply it into these other domains by capturing the student's interest. That's kind of the unit studies concept. A lot of these activities, these clubs or sports or anything else that kids do, it's not, knowing to play the piccolo that's going to change their life. And it's not most of the time going to be playing football that's going to change their life. It's all the stuff that goes with being on the team or being on the club or on the band or whatever. It's learning how to perform. It's learning how to execute a plan. It's learning how to take instruction. It's learning how to get criticism. Like, it's when Escambia Children's Trust funds programs at PLT, for instance, that's kind of what they're trying to accomplish, which is, good. That's good. That is part of how you develop people, which is what we're doing with children. Children's raw material, people's the end product. So citizens is the end product. So anyway, it's probably a good program. I've heard a little bit about this program, not a lot in the discussions at Escambia Children's Trust, but again, the return of the money, I don't think there's a big story here other than that the Escambia Children's Trust has now turned that money over to, the state and basically said, hey, look, they did an audit. They returned it to us. Here's the audit information. You guys figure out if anything needs to be done beyond this. 523 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
Sometimes an identity threat is a ring of professional hackers. And sometimes it's an overworked accountant who forgot to encrypt their connection while sending bank details.
I need a coffee.
And you need LifeLock, because your info is in endless places. It only takes one mistake to expose you to identity theft. LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second, If your identity is stolen, we'll fix it guaranteed or your money back. Save up to 40% your first year with promo code NEWS at LifeLock.com. Terms apply.
What's everyone worried about right now? Costs going up. And if you're thinking of starting a business, that's even scarier. That's one of the many reasons why becoming a Janny King Gulf Coast franchisee is a great idea. Offices and businesses are always going to need to be cleaned. Janny King has built a proven system that gives you the tools to take control of your future confidently and with the support you need to thrive. Take control of your future today at JannyKingCleans.com.
Janny King, the king of clean.
You're still glowing, flirting, grooving. You still got it. But your immune system weakens as you age, making it harder to fight flu, pneumococcal pneumonia, RSV, and COVID-19. Vaccines are a key part of any health routine and help strengthen your immune response. Ask your doctor or pharmacist which vaccines you need. Schedule in minutes at VaxAssist.com. Sponsored by Pfizer.
News Radio 92.3 is proud to be a partner in the success of a lot of local businesses. We want your business to be part of this success story in 2025 with our unique platform to showcase your powerful message. Every day, News Radio's Pensacola Expert Panel provides an opportunity unlike any other. Hi, I'm Meg, host of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Let us help you share your message. Contact us to get you and your business part of the Pensacola Expert Panel. Call 850-262-6000.
Like what you hear?
Give us your feedback by filling out our News Radio Listener Advisory Board survey. Just go to our website, newsradio923.com, and fill it out.
Simple.
News Radio 92.3.
We had friends, Barbara and Bruce, remember, who went to China, and I'm sure you're in the travel business that you've been there, but they went to Peking where they make the ducks.
Oh my. 5:26 on News Radio 92.3. Waiting for Guffman is a gem. It really is. But if you don't like the Christopher Guest type humor, then, you know, you got to know what's for you and what's not for you. You know, and, you have to know how to dose yourself with the comedy and, you know, which flavor of the dose you're going to enjoy or, you know, not enjoy. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines this morning. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. National Guard troops in Washington, D.C. are now armed. Troops deployed to the nation's capital are continuing to focus their work on protecting federal assets and increasing safety there. And it looks like President Trump is now turning his attention to Baltimore as well.
Yes. Here's how I take the story is some of the National Guard troops are going to carry arms, and it's not very many. It's also not been disclosed whether they're loaded or not. As you well know, the military sometimes carries unloaded weapons, which is a deterrent, but not of much use in an actual fight. that's the reality.
Could be a club.
Yeah, right. It's a, you know, use it for putting. So it's not a big change, but it is a change. And of course, Trump is now threatening to basically, and also apparently the plans are well underway for Chicago, Baltimore, Oakland was one, and New York City as a possible expansion, which is particularly interesting because the distinction with D.C. was always this is a city owned by the federal government. And so the president has some natural authority there. What's his natural authority in any of these other cities if he's not invited in by the governor or by the mayor? Well, that's some of what the hubbub is about. Go ahead, sir.
Well, lockdowns and evacuations unfolded Sunday after an unconfirmed active shooter report at the University of South Carolina and a hoax at Villanova University. USC issued a shelter-in-place alert for its Columbia campus, urging students to evacuate or barricade, but later confirmed that no shooter was found at Villanova. A second false report in a week temporarily disrupted their campus activity as well. And the Kremlin lowering expectations for the end of the war with Ukraine. Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov was on NBC's Meet the Press. He said there's currently no meeting planned between Vladimir Putin and Volodymyr Zelensky.
All right, David, thanks so much for the update. 437-1620. Frontier Motors, they've been around for a long time, more than a quarter decade, and they know you don't like to buy cars. Nobody does, not really, except John. John's weird, but that's okay. They built, it's true. He likes it. I don't know why. Most of the rest of us hate it. We feel like, you know, we're just going to kind of go in there in self-defense mode and hope we don't get taken advantage of too much when we're trying to buy a car. And they know that, and so they don't want you to feel that way. You know, if you want to talk with somebody, great. If you just want to, you know, look at a car, great. If you want to drive the car, great. Like, as low frustration as they can possibly make it, they just want you to be able to test different cars and see what you like. And if you find one you like at the right price, then you can buy it. And if you don't find the right one or it costs too much, I mean, they can go looking for something that might be a little bit older, might have a few more miles, and they can go find, they go with shopping lists all the time for people that are looking for cars, go to auctions, you know, go to different ways of getting them back. And, you know, they buy cars from people, you know, who come in, they buy cars from people at auctions, they buy cars off of leases all the time. About 300 on the lot at any given moment, and they specialize in, this is key, cars that are almost new, cars that are 1 to 4 years young, 10 to 40 or 50,000 miles, and they're going to warranty them to 10 years or 100,000 miles, because that's really what they want, is to give you a good quality car you can count on for a long time. Frontier Motors, serving the Pensacola community for more than 25 years, behind the Big Buffalo on Beverly Parkway. Be sure to tell them Andrew McKay says hi. 5:30 on News Radio 92.3. Somewhat cool this morning. My wife says we might get 76 later on in the week, like on Thursday. Woohoo!
Fox News, I'm Angelo Bavaro. All eyes on Maryland this morning. A Salvadorian migrant, Kilmer Abrego Garcia, expected to report to an ICE facility. Federal officials saying they will deport him to Uganda after he rejected a plea deal last week.
After months in custody, he was released from jail on parole Friday and is back in Maryland with his family.
Fox's Rebecca Castor, the alleged MS-13 gang member, was mistakenly deported to El Salvador earlier this year. He's now facing human smuggling charges in the U.S. The picket fire threatening California's Napa Valley vineyards.
The fire is working its way out of the higher elevation, out of the hills, basically down into the flats near some of the vineyards.
Cal Fire Captain Robert Foxworthy, America is listening to Fox News.
Good morning, 5:31 at News Radio 92.3, 74 degrees right now, partly cloudy skies, looking like it'll be a beautiful day. An investigation continuing after a small plane crashed near the Gulf Shores Airport yesterday. Officials say that happened between the Coastal Alabama Community College and the Gulf Shores Tourism Center. Right now, there's no word on the condition of anyone that was on board that plane, but we'll let you know when we learn more. Police in Dofuniak Springs arrested two men on child molestation charges last week. Officials say the two men were arrested at separate residences Friday. 26-year-old Aaron Kent, 60-year-old Curtis Chansey, both arrested without incident and both faced charges of lewd and lascivious molestation of a child under 12. The charges stem from separate cases. A 55-year-old man is dead after being hit by a vehicle on Fairfield Drive yesterday. Happened near South Dakota Street on Sunday morning. FHP says the man was in the road when he was hit by a westbound sedan. The driver was not hurt in that crash. She did tell officials that she believes two other vehicles may have also previously hit the pedestrian and fled the scene of that accident. Well, environmentalists applauding a federal judge's ruling halting construction at Florida's Alligator Alcatraz, essentially shutting that facility down in the next 3 months. Ron McGill from Zoo Miami says it probably won't be easy to see how much damage was done to the environment since it opened up in July, but he believes it definitely took a toll.
First and foremost, it's the light pollution, which alone affects the wildlife out there, the noise, the construction, the runoff of water, the pollution of the area.
But he does say he believes that wildlife will recover when they are given the opportunity. Now, President Trump's border czar defiant after that order, ordering the closure of the facility.
The federal court ordered the immigrant detention center at the Florida Everglades to close within 60 days. Border czar Tom Holman tells News Nation, though, the order is not going to stop the operations of Immigration and Customs Enforcement and that federal authorities will continue making arrests. The judge in the case said state and federal authorities broke several environmental laws as they raced to build the detention center. State officials in Florida have appealed the injunction. I'm Scott Carr.
Thank you very much, Scott. Well, some news coming out of Orlando. A crosswalk there drawing a lot of attention. FDOT crews painted over a crosswalk that was painted in rainbow colors for the Pulse nightclub shooting victims. Now, this is the second time FDOT has covered the crosswalk with black paint. It was painted over the first time last week. Residents went out on Thursday and repainted the rainbow colors using chalk. Well, the rain washed the chalk away, so supporters then painted rainbow colors on the pavement Saturday after FDOT crews undid that yesterday with more black paint. Some people tried to redraw the rainbow with chalk yet again. Police and FHP troopers stood by and watched. Nobody was arrested. It is 534 News Radio 92.3, and let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We will see a beautiful day today with a high near 92 degrees, otherwise mostly sunny skies. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 72 degrees. Going into Tuesday, mostly sunny skies, high near 90. Tuesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. Keeping the sunshine around on Wednesday, high near 87 on Wednesday afternoon. Wednesday night, temperatures dropping near 72. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Morning Weather Center.
And thank you very much, Brooke. Right now we've got 74 degrees. It is a beautiful morning here. And our next news is at 6, breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
I'm Nicole Murray with Your Money Now. A majority of about 700 nurses at UPMC, McGee Women's Hospital, have voted to unionize with SEIU Healthcare Pennsylvania. The union said nurses, elected officials, patients, and community members are scheduled to gather at 1 p.m. tomorrow at Zulima Parklet, across from the hospital, to celebrate and call on UPMC to negotiate a contract. Some analysts say Eli Lilly's daily obesity pill, if approved, could still be a viable competitor in the weight loss drug market, despite late-stage trial data that disappointed investors. Not to mention, Eli Lilly's drug could have a few advantages over Novo Nordisk's pill, including a lack of dietary restrictions, easier manufacturing, and a potentially lower price point, according to some analysts. Elon Musk's SpaceX has called off the launch of Starship's 10th mission from Texas over an issue at its launch site. SpaceX said the launch was canceled to allow time to troubleshoot an issue with ground systems. Futures are slightly lower. That's Your Money Now.
Northwest Florida businesses pay an average 20% more for phone service. Data Revolution wants to change that. We are your local, service-focused VoIP provider, right now offering a free bill review and free installation for new customers. No matter where your team is, Data Revolution can help. Experience the service and support only a locally owned company can provide. Join the revolution at datarevs.com.
Bands on the Beach is presented by the Santa Rosa Island Authority and happens every Tuesday night at 7 at the Gulfside Pavilion on Pensacola Beach. You're invited to bring a blanket, a lawn chair, and relax and watch the sunset and enjoy your favorite bands. This week, it's Shenanigans. They're not just a band, it's an experience. It's definitely not a show you just go to, it's a show you participate in. So don't miss Shenanigans this Tuesday night at 7 at Bands on the Beach. You'll be dancing and singing along. Just remember, no pets or glass allowed.
Tune in to Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Retire Right Radio, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, this Sunday at 1 p.m.
Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC. Registered advisors.
Hey, Pensacola. Get ready for a midday delight that'll have you hooked. Weekdays from 11 until 2 on News Radio Pensacola. Tune in to the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show. Jamie Markley, David Van Camp, and Scott Robbins are the dynamic trio that'll keep you entertained, informed, and laughing out loud during your lunch break. They dish out the hottest topics, bring you the latest news, and deliver their unique blend of humor and insight that'll have you coming back for more. It's the Markley, Van Camp, and Robbins Show on News Radio Pensacola, 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Got really
Why
do.
Why is that, Andrew?
There are some Bengals songs that are great, and then there's this one. And it's just, it's always been the, it makes me cringe. But it is a Monday, and it is in today's folder, so okay, fine.
I got away with
there
it.
There you go, you did. 437-1620. Interesting, a couple interesting stories in the state of Florida. One is, remember how we have now turned it into a permitless concealed carry state, right? Like you, as long as you would otherwise qualify for a permit, you don't have to actually have a permit. Think of it this way. It'd be like if we said you don't have to have a driver's license as long as you're 16 and you've never been convicted of a DUI or something along those lines. You don't have to actually get a license. You just go drive and you would be eligible, so you're fine. Same kind of thing with guns, right? You can carry concealed. You just don't have to act as long as you would be able to get one. You don't have to actually get one. Now, if it turns out that you're, you know, convicted felon, no, you can't have one. If you're 18 years old, you can't have one because you got to be 21 under current law, although that's in litigation right now. But 17, okay, for example, you can't conceal carry for sure. So there was a when this law went into effect, there was somebody who was in the process of being tried for having violated the concealed carry rules. Not because this person was a felon, not because they're 17 years old, but just because they had not actually gotten a permit. And so this person, it's actually a woman, and she got stopped, and she got charged with carrying a concealed weapon without a license in Orlando in March of 2023. And she said, well, now she says, why should I have to be convicted of a crime that's no longer a crime? Right? It was a crime when she did it. It's not a crime now. Why is the court continuing to prosecute her for something that had been a crime at the time? The law went into effect in July of 2023, and this was March of 2023. So she's actually been charged and convicted, and an appeals court heard the argument. And what they said is, well, what do you think, John? Take a stab. What do you think the appeals court said? Can you be sentenced for committing a crime that at the time was a crime but no longer is at this moment?
At the time, yes.
You can. Yeah, that's right, because it was a crime when you did
right.
it. And you have to obey the laws at the time you know. Now, the reverse is never true, right? If something was not illegal and you do it, and it subsequently becomes illegal, they can't convict you, they can't even try you, can't even arrest you for having committed something that at the time was not yet a crime. That's called an ex post facto law. But something that was a crime at the time that subsequently becomes not a crime, you can be charged and tried for that. Now, here's what I think. It's a waste of resources. I think that you, generally speaking, now there's exceptions because one of the reasons why you might prosecute somebody for a prior crime that's not a crime right now is because the system of laws has to defend the system of laws. And you don't want to have people engaging in criminal activity on the premise or the hope that, you know, that might be going away. You might have the expectation of decriminalization operating in people's minds, and you don't want that. And that might be true whether, you know, like if the legislature is doing something, you know, they're talking about, for example, I don't know, let's pick something they might talk about, total decriminalization of marijuana. You know, and you would have somebody, oh, the legislature's talking about it. And then you get excited and you go smoke some weed. And then they say, no, you know, that's illegal, and you get arrested. Well, you don't want that. But it could be even stronger than that. You could have a case where the legislature has decided that it's going to be decriminalized on July 1st. But, you know, you're eager. You don't want to wait. And so on, you know, May 30th, which is after the law has been signed, but before the law takes effect, and you're like, I'm going to get high, you know. You know. But still, it's illegal. Again, is it a great use of resources to continue prosecuting such a case? Probably not. But the governor can always grant clemency, and the law needs to be honored regardless of whether it is still in effect, if it was in effect at the time. What you might say is, man, we sure do have other things that we ought to be. But again, gun rules are gun rules, and they ought to be honored. And she violated the guns rule by having a concealed carry when she did not have a permit, and you did have to have one at the time. 544 on News Radio 92.3. What else do we have going on? Oh, another kind of statewide story that's sort of interesting to me. Did you know, and there's no reason that you would know, but did you know that in Florida, if you are deemed a sex predator, your driver's license says so. John, right, that's it. Yeah, that look of the what it does.
The
yeah,
what?
It has a, I don't know how big it is. I think I've seen one picture of one, but it basically, it has a note on there that says, hey, the person that's giving you this license, you know, is a sex predator. It's a convicted sexual predator. The word is sexual predator. Well, one guy apparently didn't like this. This guy, his name is Michael Christ. He was released from prison in 2008 after serving conviction on attempted sexual battery on a child under the age of 12 and lewd and lascivious molestation. And he was on probation. He got released, and he had the sexual predator designation on his driver's license.
It does say that.
Yeah, you look it up, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Is it red? Is it in red?
Or no,
is
it just the say couple, it? The couple of pictures I'm seeing, it looks like it's in dark blue, purple.
That's what I thought. Is it wasn't in red, but okay. So in 2019, a probation officer asked to see his license. And he's like, just a second. Hold on.
I left it in the truck.
No. And he's kind of slowly getting it out, but also trying to scratch something off of it. So what had happened is he had put a happy face emoji sticker, you know, the yellow smiley face, over the part that says sexual predator on his driver's license. So you could still read his name and I guess his, you know, that it's him and his date of birth is what you have to have. Usually, if you're going to produce a license, you know, you're like at the grocery store and you want to buy a beer and they're like, can I see a license? You're like, oh, man, but it says sexual predator on there. I really don't want to show it to you. Oh, I'll put a sticker over that part. You see the parts you need, not that part. So he's trying to scratch the sticker off, and the probation officer is like, bro, you can't do that. The whole point is that it's on there by state. So his argument in court was, this is a violation of my First Amendment rights because you're forcing me to carry state speech for you. You're forcing my document to speak a message that I don't want to tell people, and the right to not communicate the message that I am a sexual predator is my right on my state ID. And the judge said, yeah, you're an idiot.
Yeah, basically.
The judge said, any reasonable observer will understand that it's the state's message that Christ is a sexual predator, just as it is the state's message that he is licensed to drive in Florida and has a certain date of birth, height, weight, or eye color. Much like the, you know, the gender, right? If you identify as a woman, but the state identifies you as a man, which one goes on your driver's license? Well, depends on which state you live in, because in some states, the state will defer to your judgment about your sex. And in Florida, we say, no, it's birth gender, you know, it's birth sex. And so it is state speech. It's not your speech. Now, a lot of these things we kind of allow you to say, but if somebody goes in to get a driver's license and they weigh 250 pounds and they put down, you know, 150, they got green eyes, they put down brown eyes, the person's going to say something. I hope, you know, I hope. Well, I identify as green eyes. Wait, that doesn't matter. You know, I identify as a thin person. I'm on Ozempic. It's going to get there. Well, it doesn't matter. It's where you are now, right? Similarly, I identify as someone who hasn't been convicted of a sex crime. Not too bad, you have, and here it goes on your license. And this is again back to the judge's ruling. And by making Chris's license a personal identification card normally hidden from public view rather than his front yard, office entrance, business advertisements, personal vehicle, or custom website, the state has not compelled Chris to publicly display or disseminate its message. What they're saying is it could have been a lot worse. You know, we could have made you put a big sign up in your yard, put a big, you know, well, I guess today you wouldn't be able to paint it on the street because, you know, FDOT would come and take that away. But he could have been required to have, like, a bright red and white door, you know, on his house, put something on his car, paint it. I was going to say pink, but that'd be the Mary Kay people. But, you know, paint his car an unusual color that identifies only sexual predators, which, by the way, wouldn't be a terrible idea. I mean, if sexual predators largely commit their crimes via the use of a vehicle, then having a big old, again, I'm going to pick on pink only because it's what comes to mind, a giant pink door and a giant orange, I don't know, car, pink with white stripes, something. You know, everybody. But the problem then is you have people driving around in a car that you know is going to get vandalized. You know they're going to get beat up, you know, like, which are all things that are not allowed. Those, you know, illegal activity, and we don't want to be included inciting to illegal activity. Anyway, so the judge basically said, look, we're not making you do a public identification, a public announcement. It's only something that's in your pocket until you have to display it because somebody requests it for a reason that you could opt out of, right? You can opt not to buy beer, and you can opt not to go to the club. I'm thinking of all the situations where you'd have to show a driver's license. Doctor's office. Usually you don't have to give your... Do you have to give your ID at the doctor's office? Or you just have to give your insurance card?
Well, you got to give them both.
I guess normally you'd kind of have to give them both. I'm just thinking of places where you might have to give your driver's license. Anyway, the point is it's not making you wear a hat or a name tag or, again, put it on your car or in your house. It's just putting it on your driver's license for the times when that comes up and they say that's fine. Let's see. The dissent in this, by the way... Because this actually, the appeals court overruled a lower court judge who said that this claim was justified. The lower court judge had said, a requirement that a registrant publicly wear a governmentally compelled T-shirt or badge saying sexual predator would be highly effective in notifying the public about the person's past sexual criminality, but it is doubtful such a requirement would be narrowly tailored to pass constitutional analysis. In other words, speech, when you're compelling speech, it has to be narrowly tailored to accomplish the purpose. The same would be true of T-shirts or badges saying felon, stalker, murderer. I love this line of thinking, though. I go back and forth. And so on for those released into society but who may have committed crimes with elevated risks of recidivism. Recidivism is just committing the same crime again. In a similar way, the sexual predator designation, which we know has a high recidivism rate, designation on driver's license is not a narrowly tailored means to inform only those persons who have the greater need to know about an individual's past sexual criminality. But what would it be? I mean, the judge is saying that this judge, who was overruled, this judge is saying that even a driver's license is too much. It is too much. It's too far in terms of compelled speech. Because people who don't need to know that about you, like the lady at the checkout at Winn-Dixie, well, now Aldi. sorry, painful. Anyway, they don't need to know you're a sexual predator. They're just trying to sell you beer and trying to make sure you're 21. Anyway, so it's an interesting case. To me, I think this is a pretty minimal intrusion on somebody's right to keep secret the fact that they're a convicted sexual predator, something which is on every web. You can go online and see where they all, and you can map them out. Where are the sex predators living near me? And they'll tell you names and date of birth and nature of crime. And they even categorize them into predator? And what's the other one? I forget. There's a lower level one. There's two kind of levels of the danger involved. And so if you can do that and then to put it on a driver's license, just doesn't seem like a big deal. It doesn't seem to really accomplish a lot either. It doesn't seem that intrusive. It also doesn't seem to accomplish a lot because it's not like, there's some way for the kid, which is always the issue, or the adult, they're going to see your driver's license if they didn't know you were already a convicted sex predator. So, interesting case in the state of Florida. 552 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Speaking of knowing where they are, I mean, that's one of the things you want to consider when you buy a house or sell a house, right? But buy a house particularly. And Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty can help you figure all that stuff out. There's a lot of things you don't think about, especially when you're buying. Gosh, I remember, when we bought our first house, we didn't know anything. And I wish we had had a realtor like Christina Leavenworth when we were buying our first home because, she'll help you answer questions you're not even asking, which is useful. Things like, when do you typically go see a house? Like in the day, right? Well, when are you going to be in your house typically? In the night. Those are different. What's the traffic doing at 2:00 in the afternoon? Who cares? What's the traffic doing at 3:30 when school lets out a block away? Or at 5:30 when it's rush hour? What's the noise level like during the day? That's just a particular example, but my point is Christina and her folks will help you think about all the things in order so that you're happy. Because that's what they want. They want you to be happy in the end. And if you don't think about that stuff and then some problem comes along and you don't realize it because you didn't ask good questions about the future zoning or the future land use or the current zoning, the future land use, or things that might happen behind your property. Like, those are all the things that, especially first-time buyers, never even think to ask about. And she'll help you think about that stuff. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leaven Rinke Realty.
Good morning, guys. I just want to warn you, traffic is tough out there.
We are here for you to tell you how to keep safe.
Everybody who is listening needs to take cover as soon as they can.
To provide the music, talk, and sports you love. And to deliver the news that matters to you. We are the voices you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress you depend on your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
Join the Pensacola Expert Panel Wednesday at 10:30 as Bess Marks from Lazy Boy joins the show, talking about upcoming events at all three Gulf Coast locations, Pensacola, Spanish Fort, and Mobile, how to incorporate Lazy Boy's free in-home design service with recliners, sofas, accessories, and artwork to make your home look just like a picture out of a magazine.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Text or call with your questions. 850-437-1620.
When a storm is brewing, you need reliable information at your fingertips. Tune in to News Radio 92.3 for comprehensive hurricane coverage you can count on. Our team of anchors and reporters are in studio and at the County Emergency Operations Centers, bringing you live updates, safety tips, and emergency resources. From storm tracking to storm information, we've got you covered. Stay informed, stay safe. When the winds pick up, we're right there with you. News Radio 92.3, your trusted source during hurricane season.
Here are the News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 contest rules. You can win one prize per household per contest in any 30-day period, unless specified by individual contest rules. All prizes on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 are non-transferable, non-redeemable for cash, or exchangeable for any other prize. News Radio 92.3 AM 1620 prizes must be redeemed within a 30-day period of winning. For a complete list of rules, visit newsradio923.com.
All of your local news and talk from dependable host Andrew McKay on your morning drive with Pensacola Morning News 5 to 9 on News Radio 92.3.
From bikes to trends to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is.
Gee whiz!
John and I,
Toys R Us.
Oh, I know. I got you so excited for Jeffrey the Giraffe and everything.
I know.
You and I were talking a little bit about that whole issue of, you know, checking out a neighborhood at times when you don't normally go to look at the house.
Right.
Cough.
And you were saying that you never would have thought about that. But, yeah, I mean, at night. I remember we were buying in Phoenix, or we were almost going to buy when we were in Phoenix, and we were buying in, you know, what we could afford at the time, which in the, you know, the boom was not great. And, you know, we were on the verge, we were thinking about a house, and we came back at night and there was a nearby park. Oh, neat amenity right across the street. Yeah. Not if the park doesn't have lights and a bunch of drug dealers hang out at the park at night.
Right.
And I kid you not, in this house's front yard, we actually found a meth pipe.
What? Like, oh my goodness.
Ah, we'll buy somewhere else.
Yeah. Here we go.
You know, so yeah, if you're going to look at a house, you know, you might want to try times of day, you know, just to see kind of, you know, what's it like at night? What's it like at rush hour? Anyway, 437-1620. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning, gentlemen. Boeing continuing negotiations with its striking machinist union today. International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers President Tom Bowling says he's hopeful that the two sides can work something out so everybody can move on. There are about 3,000 Boeing workers on strike in the St. Louis area. The Menendez brothers will not be getting out of prison, at least yet. A San Diego parole board issued its decision on Lyle Friday night. That's a day after his brother Eric was also denied parole. 3 months ago, the brothers were resentenced to 50 years to life for the murders of their parents in Beverly Hills. And a rare Michael Jordan and Kobe Bryant basketball card shattered expectations over the weekend, selling for a record $12.9 million at auction. The one-of-a-kind card from the 2007-2008 Upper Deck exquisite collection featured both legends' autographs and NBA logo patches.
And you said how much?
$12.9 million.
That was crazy. Wow. I heard about that.
Wow. Okay. Well, hey, look, the you know, the collectibles market, and that's a very, it's rare, one of a kind because of those signatures or whatever, but it's amazing. The people, there are, David, thanks so much for the update. There are people who, lots of people, not who are like comics nerds or card sports nerds or anything like that, but people who invest millions and millions of dollars into these commodities because they believe there's a market for them in the future. And there probably will be. I don't think they're wrong. Of course, I do remember a certain small stuffed toy with beans inside that people thought was a great investment too at one time. And
right.
You know, a market is only a good investment if the underlying strength of demand within that market justifies the commodity's price. If it's speculators or investors is just a nice word for speculator, right? If it's speculators, then largely determining the price, then you're counting on the future speculators propping you up when you want to sell. Well, that's true whether it's, you know, art or, you know, in this case, basketball cards or anything else. But, man, $12 million for a little... Okay. you know, it's not my money. So, you know, okay. Good luck. Hope your mom doesn't throw it out. Local.